It's Thursday night, January 18th, 2018, and the San Jose Sharks took on a speedy young Colorado Avalanche, and they got piled. I know, bad pun. By a score of 5-3, this one was... It was just... And we will talk about it tonight on Teal Town After Dark. Hi, everyone. If you want to be part of the show, please use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Of course, you can always follow us on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. But if you're watching us on the YouTube page or in the app, you can always hit us up in the chat, and we will take your comments and questions live on the air. Hi, everyone. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. As we discuss this 5-3 loss to the Avalanche, joining me tonight is Mr. Al Martinet.
Hey, how you doing?
You know.
Yeah, that's the general reaction.
Yeah. Also joining me, my fellow Notch Bro, Gentry Alexander.
I'm showing up more on the show than the Sharks have been all season.
Hey,
at least I have more value, and I can't get any. You know, if I was to get waived, you know, and go to some other podcast, you know, at least I would. My power play percentage would be way better than the Sharks.
At least it would be better than it was tonight. That's for sure.
It's been decent recently, but going 0-7 is inexcusable.
Yeah, although they had an unreal amount of shots on goal tonight. On the power play.
The Sharks are facing a speedy team. They're on a road trip and they're facing a backup goalie. It's Sharks bingo.
We will get into all of this right now. As we begin, Colorado jumped on the Sharks early and often in that first period. Although the Sharks outshot the Avalanche 10-9, it was the Nathan MacKinnon show, and he scores two goals in a matter of 58 seconds in the opening frame, one of which was on the power play. He even had a chance to get the natural hat trick, Natty Hattie for Natty? I don't know. But quickly, the Avalanche were up 2-0. They literally almost made it 3-0, but Jones was able to make some of the saves there. Unfortunately, though, late in the period, Carl Soderberg gets his 10th of the year, assisted by Long Beach native Matt Nieto and Blake Como at 18-14. Alex, it was 3-0 after one period play on 9 shots. Oh, my, what in the heck went on with this club after one period against Colorado?
The first two goals Jones should have had, those were easy. No one was screening the goalie. Those were just transition goals that Jones should have stopped. And the Sharks were in a big hole after those two goals. I didn't really see the third one, but all the momentum in that period belonged to the Avalanche, and we're kind of lucky it was just a 3-0 deficit. It could have been far worse than it really was.
And after one period, it was 3-0 and really couldn't get anything going for the Sharks that period. What did you think, or what were your thoughts after 20?
The same thing that my thoughts were after last time's game, or the last game that I was on and I was talking about it, was I knew this was going to happen, is that the Sharks were going to face a streaking Colorado Avalanche team with a dangerous first line, you know, led by, you know, Hart candidate Nathan MacKinnon, and the Mac attack, you know, attacked the Sharks at their weakest, and Jones was just undressed and gently laid down to bed and, you know, was caressed and owned this game. Like, honestly, this first period from the Sharks was just a microcosm of their entire season, and you start to see what the weaknesses for this team. It's speed and it's skill. You know, and for some reason, I don't know if Jones has to go see the same sports therapist that Marc-Andre Fleury did when he was having his playoff struggles back with the Penguins, you know, some seasons ago. But this team should not be as bad as they are. But yet again, this team is continuing to hold on to an aging core, and it's costing them right now. The only thing that I can say positively about the game tonight was that second power play unit. You know, yeah. LeBanc, you know, what
Meyer. Guy,
LeBanc, Meyer, DeMello. I mean, I'd even say that Mark-Edward Vlasic had more quality shots on net tonight than most of the first power play unit. And it pains me to say that.
I was just going to say, wait a minute. This just did. Gentry is complimenting Mark-Edward Vlasic. Back to you, Jen. Go ahead. Oh my God. Hell must be freezing over. It's the Leafs year.
Well, I mean, it is, snowing in Nashville. So
that's true.
No, but I think right now it's like the Sharks were ever so lucky to only be down 3-0 in the first period. But I knew it was going to be a tough hill for them to crawl back on. And Jonathan Bernier playing out of his darn mind.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He's the only reason why they won that, and Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah,
he had 45 shots. He saved 45 shots today, which is a fantastic. He played out of his game, where he normally plays. You know, I was kind of surprised that Dell didn't come in the second period. We've seen that time and time again.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was surprised too, but considering how many games the Sharks are going to be playing up until next Thursday, I could see why they would hold back on it, because I would think in the next four games that they got to play, I want to say Dell gets probably two and Jones gets probably two. So it'll be quite interesting on that part. Second period now, wherein Jones stayed in the net. Minute 34 in, Colorado scores again. Mikko Rantanen from MacKinnon and Barbiero. 4-0. And a little bit of me, just a little bit, said, you know, this is kind of shaping up like the stunner at Staples in 2011, when the Sharks were getting outplayed. They let in an early goal. It's 4-0. No, Antero Nidamaki will be coming in to replace a bad Nemo. But I was like, you know, it's still way too early against an inexperienced, young team. And sure enough, they started to make the comeback. It was considered a power play influence goal. Timo Meyer gets his 9th on the season just as the power play expires from Kevin LeBanc and Mark-Edward Vlasic at 9:44, making it 4-1. That would be the overall scoring in there. But I think, guys, and I'll start with you, Chench, in the second period, I thought San Jose, after they let in that one goal after to make it 4-0, they kind of started changing the momentum a little bit in here.
They could have, you know, and they started to, you know, they got that power play influence goal because God knows we can't score on the power play. It just seemed right now, it's like they kind of had some life in them. You know, they had something to look forward to in the going into the third. But at the end of the day, it's you're not, you know, that this team like had the opportunities. They had seven power play opportunities. Mm-hmm. And with your first power play unit as stacked as it is, and you don't get a single power play goal on that, inexcusable. Like, what are we paying Joe Thornton for on that power play? You know, but anyhow, that's my opinion.
Gotcha. Alex, what did you take from the second period? Or And they're saying if you can turn up your volume a little bit.
I just turned it down because I saw Lauren's post. But
okay. Oh.
It's almost too loud. In general, I thought that the second period, I don't know what was told in the locker room, but it seemed like they actually just woke up because the game was played at 6 p.m., not the normal 7 mm-hmm. or 7:30 p.m. start. I don't know if that's something to do with it. But in general, it just seems like the third line was getting more matched up with the first line of the Colorado Avalanche to at least get some balance versus speed. And speed kills us. Like speed that was shown versus the Arizona game. Like we cannot defend any team with a good speed and or youth arrangement. And that is going to be our Achilles heel for the rest of the game. Or for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. I totally agree. This, you ever, like, the Sharks, and it's been their Achilles heel since 2010 Western Conference Final when we faced the Chicago Blackhawks, and we were favored to beat them. And what did the Blackhawks have that year? They had youth, and they had speed, and they had skill, and they trounced us. You know, it definitely wasn't goaltending, although we did make a certain goalie in that series look like a freaking Vezina nominee. But still, this – and by the way, guys, I am not wearing a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey.
No.
It is a Golden Seals jersey.
Yeah.
You know.
Very nice Golden Seals. The Hunter Green and California Gold.
You're just a Boston Bruins fan.
No.
I like how they play, though.
Yeah, that's true. And
talk about a team that's squeaking in there. That's actually quietly, you know, causing a ruckus is the Boston Bruins, you know, Christ. Yeah.
But third period now, and this is where the Sharks really started bringing the heat. Marc-Edouard Vlasic with his sixth on the year from Tomas Hertl and Kevin LeBanc for two. I mean, just a half a minute in to get that goal was huge. That would get things going a little bit there. That was getting things moving along. The Sharks definitely carried the momentum there, and then on a sweet 2-on-1 with a sweet pass. I know this is kind of sounding ironic here, a sweet pass to Joe Thornton as he passed it into the net at 4:53. Sharks had all the momentum going in there and we made it 4-3. They would get a power play right after this. And I think they really put the kitchen sink out there tonight on their power play. They just couldn't bury it in. Bernie had some unreal saves. On that one alone, I think the one-timer shot by Hertl had so many chances in the third period to try to tie it. Unfortunately, the Joe Thornton goal becomes that teaser goal I like to mention as Matt Nieto. Guys, Gent, Alex, I can't remember. Where's Matt Nieto from?
It's SoCal, I believe, somewhere. Somewhere in SoCal.
Oh,
it's a beach that's quite extreme in its length. It's something beach. Something.
Oh. Alex, help me out here. What is it's a beach something.
Long Beach.
Long Beach. There, yes.
Long Beach native. Yes. And you know what? I just want to point out this interesting stat. Matt Nieto has more goals than Joe Pavelski.
The same amount of goals.
Nah, are you sure?
Yeah, 9-9.
Okay. Yeah. And how many more does he have than Bodker?
Four more.
That's right. But remember, folks, we waived Matt Nieto because we thought that we could do it without him. And yet again, it's kind of like that. It's one of those darn moves that I hate Doug Wilson for. For every good move Doug Wilson makes, he's always got quite a few stinkers that irks me to no end. And it's like, because let's all remember, this was a guy who traded, you know, Jamie McGinn for essentially TJ Gagliardi and Daniel Winnick. So Let's and we all saw how that paid off.
Yeah, that one hurt. And that's kind of what I was talking about on previous shows in the past, is that you are waiving assets and essentially not getting anything in return, and you can't have you can't have that happen over and over again, you know. And you do have a prospect from the Wingles trade. You have you haven't seen him yet realistically, but you wave Carpi, gone. You luckily had Paul Martin cleared waivers, thankfully. It's just frustrating to see that you're losing players when you need depth. And the fact that there was a rumor that we were going after a fourth line center just really irks me, that we have to go look and trade for a fourth line center when the worst part,
this team is full of centers.
Well, not just that, but I mean, you should have plenty of people that will work as a fourth line center in your organization. And because you don't, that's scary. That's really scary. And yes, Matt Webb, Dev, I that's very true. To be fair, Carpi's not doing much at all with the Golden Knights. That's true. But still, if you're going to lose an asset, you would just hope that you get something else in return. That's all. Even if it's just like a seventh round pick, for crying out loud. But nonetheless, I digress. I will say this on the Sharks tonight, they had 48 shots on goal. Believe it or not, they had more shots on the power play than they had at even strength. They had 25 power play shots on goal to 23 for even strength. We want to welcome those of you who've been watching Curtis and Brody, or Brody and Curtis, to Teal Town After Dark. We are your live and interactive Sharks postgame show. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button down below. If you want to hit that bell, that'll also notify you that we are on the air whenever the Sharks play, home and away, regular season, postseason. We hope postseason. But nonetheless, with Gentry Alexander and Al Martinet, I am Eric Kura. So overall, Jonathan Bernier had a stellar night, guys. Give kudos to him. He's won seven straight, including six starts. Colorado has won eight in a row now. And 48 saves, or 48 shots on goal, 45 saves for Bernier, while Martin Jones allows five goals on 22 shots. And I'm not sold that he's okay. Remember, he had that little injury that kept him out a little bit for a while, but I just don't know. He hasn't been the same since. And another game where he's let in more than four. And Alex, I'll say, he had, like you mentioned, a couple of softies early on.
Yeah, the thing is that both those goals, even like the fourth one, they were all targeting his glove hand. So I don't know if there's some wrist issue in that regard. It just seems like that's what opposing teams are now is targeting that glove side, because he just can't get it up. That seems like that's what other teams have been doing. It's what Colorado did tonight. I just hope that Jones gets enough time to get healthy, because that was what happened last year. Joe Thornton went down. And you know the story from that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just hope that it's okay. Although, Jen, it's always nice to have a strong backup with Aaron Dell, and no matter what people say, whether or not you should be having him as your main go-to guy, I do kind of like the tandem that they kind of been working with lately these days.
Oh, you know, I've come up with a new nickname for Aaron Dell. Aaron Dell is the new Mika, because eventually we're going to trade him somewhere, and then he's going to bite our ass in a playoff series, because he's like Mika Kiprusoft, and he'll win a cup with another team somewhere else. He'll play for a cup. I think he'll win one.
I don't think Dell is as good as people want to give him, because he's only played against below 500 competition.
But he's played fairly well against that competition, though.
Still, like, even when he came in against Dallas, he had trouble. That, again, the Dallas game was everyone's fault, but I'm waiting for him to play against teams like the Ducks, the Kings. I don't think he is a starter quality goaltender. I think it's more the system building around Dell. And maybe Jones was a beneficiary for it, and he's just not healthy to get the benefit of it.
But my thing with Dell and Jones right now is that you clearly have a goalie who's going through some type of slump, who's clearly suffering some type of injury that he's not disclosing, that he's playing through, that he's trying. And you've already have that much invested in Martin Jones for the next, 5 years or so?
Yep.
And he's going to be making nearly $6 million. If he's playing through something and it still hasn't healed, you have the luxury of having a backup who can actually, if you have a mid-tier backup who can get you a .915 save percentage, you should be able to win those games. All you have to do, if Martin Jones is your future, sit him. Don't try to have him play because, like, oh, well, we're battling for a playoff spot and we need our starter. No, sit him.
And you make a good point in the sense that, yeah, you can sit him because you're looking long-term with Jones. I mean, I don't think you're looking completely long-term with Dell. Dell's here, and you use him, not to say you use him and take him to advantage, but you have to look at the overall health of Jones if there's something going on there.
You better hope that whatever is ailing him is healed by the time, the All-Star break ends, because after that, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and there's no more crazy breaks in between the schedules like they've been having since Christmas.
What I expect to happen is that Dells plays against Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh is on their West Coast trip, and that might be a good evaluation for how good he is versus that top team talent. And yeah, Pittsburgh is, I would say, kind of disappointing. They're also back-to-back playoff runs. They're kind of running out of the gas, I think, at the moment. But it would be interesting to see how he plays against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting if he were to go against Pittsburgh and Jones starts against Anaheim on Sunday. The other thing, too, is that the Pittsburgh game's at 5 o'clock, so that might throw everybody off a little bit, but we'll see. We'll see. In the chat is... Let's see. We kind of already answered Rob Ivan's question. Factor Fitchman, Dell starts against the Ducks on Sunday. I don't know.
I'm the George Costanza, whatever. Guys, I never watched Seinfeld because I was too busy, having a life in the 90s. if you're going to, if you're going to call me the Ray Ratto, at least, donate me some ugly sweaters that I can wear, and I will shave the beard and just have a mustache.
No, don't. Chat, do not encourage Gentry like this. No.
No, but here's my thing.
He'll come in with ugly sweaters.
No. I'm going to say this, is that the reason why the Sharks went 0-7 on the power play tonight was you had the first power play unit that was out there. And yes, they were passing the puck around, but the players were stationary. They were staying where they were supposed to. And the you know how you open up lanes? You want to know how you kind of get things going? Is you move the body around. You confuse the defenseman in the power play or in the penalty kill because you're moving around. You're moving the puck around. And then you sneak into that lane. Because if you compare – if you look at the power play that the Sharks have and you compare it to the power play that, let's say, a team like Tampa Bay has, look at – like, those guys are constantly moving around. They are on like there's never any moment, and then they get set up perfectly, and then it's either a one timer to Kucherov or it's a one timer to, you know, Stamkos, or it's a shot from the point from Hedman. But you look at those, but you look at the movement around. All the Sharks are doing is, oh, I'm just gonna stay here and wait for Bernsey to shoot it into my face and then knock out my teeth.
I thought the power play was really decent tonight. They just didn't get enough. They just didn't score, and that was what defined the game. Mm-hmm. Colorado had one power play goal, and that was end up being the difference. Yeah, there were a couple of times when the power play looked like crap. That happens, but four out of the seven I thought were decent power plays, especially the one right after we scored the third goal. Like, that was five, six, seven shots that Bernier just – was playing out of his mind. He was fantastic tonight.
I thought overall, I thought the power play was okay. I mean, 25 shots on seven power play opportunities is actually nice. But again,
do you think
we have you have seven power plays tonight. You need to put it together. And let's put it this way. I think there were some power plays that were a lot better that didn't capitalize, as opposed to, I think, like the power play, like the last two power plays in the third where they just went, you know, where they couldn't, you know, generate any momentum because Colorado was getting the puck out right away. Sorry, Jen, go ahead.
Do you think this game was Bernier's revenge on the Sharks for destroying him 7-0 a couple years ago when he was playing for the Maple Leafs?
I would think you always have those games in the back of your head. I think you always like, okay, I remember, and maybe somebody might have mentioned it to him in the thing in the locker room prior to a game. I mean, that's always something, you know. It's always a thought that it could be like, hey, you remember when they went, you know.
I think right now it's just, I don't know where this team's headspace is at. I don't know if it's on the game. I don't know if it's up their ass, but they need to pull it out. And they need to kind of realize that, like I said in the last game, there's other teams lurking. And if I'm not mistaken right now, is the Kings are tied with Pittsburgh. And they are, what, how many points back from the Sharks right now? Or they're tied with the Sharks?
Tied. Or one back. Yeah. One to two.
One win from the Kings, and you're back into square one.
Yep. So let's put a bow on this. AJ, I think we banged on your power play drum for you good enough tonight. But like I said, you averaged almost 3.5 shots on the power play tonight. Just didn't bury the hatchet into the net to get that tying goal, essentially. But it is what it is. And the Sharks lose their three-game losing streak. Bodker's point streak comes to an end. However, Joe Thornton, with his fourth goal in four games, extends his goal scoring streak to four games. Excuse me, gets me all choked up and everything. First time he's done it in 11 years. So yeah, first time he scored in 11 years in Denver as well. Thank you, Uncle Darren Stevens, for those stats. And with that, let's go around the NHL wraparound as we take a look at the games that took place earlier today. First of which, they retired Eric Lindros's number 88 in Philly tonight, and they send everybody home happy with a 3-2 victory in Philly as the Flyers beat the Maple Leafs.
And then the Colorado Avalanche also remind them of who actually won that trade. They beat the Sharks 5-3.
There you go. Patrick with his third of the year. Wayne Simmonds with a shorthanded goal. And Sean Couturier wins it just 18 seconds into overtime. Downtown Connor Brown and Frederick Gauthier with his first of the year. As the Leafs lose another one, Dangle's going to be pissed on the LFR tomorrow. In Jersey, the Devils win in overtime 4-3 over the Washington Capitals. Stafford, Green, Wood get the goals for Jersey. Connolly, Orlov, and Connolly again for Washington. But it was Taylor Hall with his 17th on the year at 34 seconds into OT, wins it for the Devils.
Isn't it weird? Because isn't Edmonton like looking for speedy wingers to play with Connor McDavid? And didn't they already have like two of them that they traded? no, I might give Doug Wilson. What's the
trade behind that? Just curious.
Taylor Hall. It was Taylor Hall for Adam Larson.
Straight up.
Yeah.
And then for Eberle, it was
Stroms.
Ryan Strom or Dylan Strom? No, Dylan Strom is playing for Phoenix. Or sorry, Arizona, aka Houston in a couple of years. No, it's Ryan. Ryan Strom. So yeah, we were just doing that to shed salary. Yeah. And in doing so, you eliminate any skill that you had, and you're relying on rookies that aren't really NHL tested and haven't been developed yet. Good going. We have
one more point than the Kings.
And can I say, this will be the first time I'll ever say this. Thank you, Pittsburgh, because you're currently leading 3-1 over the Kings.
I'm just pissed about 2015.
Moving onward. So let's see here. Because I skipped from the Leafs. In a shootout, the Blue Jackets beat the Stars 2-1. Radulov for the Stars, Schroeder for the Neon Buggers, as Korpisalo gets the victory for the Blue Jackets as they go to 26-18-3. In Madison Square Garden, the Rangers outlast the Sabres 4-3. Nash gets two more goals, JT Miller with a goal, and Buchnevich scores his 12th for the game winner as Kailak Poso, Falk, and Ristolainen get the goals for the Sabres. Hey, I'm trying to get these names right and not get yelled at. All right. In Canada's capital, the Senators are downed by the St. Louis Blues 4-1. Tarasenko, Petrangelo, Braden Schenn, and Alex Steen gets goals for the Blues as they go to 28-17-3 on the campaign. Bobby Ryan, his 6th of the season, was the lone goal scorer for the Sens as Carter Hutton helps the Blues and get back in there. In what many are predicting, including Rocket Backhander on the Pecknologists,
spoilers, you gotta listen to that.
Oh, sorry, spoiler alert, my bad. Next thing you know, you're gonna tell me, you know, something happened to Luke Skywalker in one of the Star Wars movies. Anyways,
what, dude, you might want to see Last Jedi.
What?
Anywho, what? In Tampa. In Tampa, the Lightning lose to the Vegas Golden Knights by a score of 4-1. Hockey Trick's favorite hockey player, James Neal, Nate Schmidt, David Perron, William Karlsson, all goals for the Golden Knights. Palat, the lone goal scorer for the Lightning. Marc-Andre Fleury gets the win as the Knights go to 63 points on the campaign. The Lightning still clinging on to the number one spot in the league at 65, but the Golden Knights beat the best team in the league twice this season. These guys are for real, folks. Get ready for playoff.
They're for real, and then they win the President's Trophy and then get ousted in the first round, because that would just be karma.
Nothing though. Get ready for playoff hockey in the Vegas.
Yep, I don't think they have enough to make it through four rounds. I think it's a great story for a first year team.
In Music City, the Predators outlast the Desert Dogs.
Yeah, chug that H2O.
That's right, high quality H2O. Predators beat the Coyotes 3-2 in a shootout. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Brandon Perlini, the goal scorers for the Yotes, while Scott Hartnell and Ryan Ellis get goals for the Predators. Pekka Rinne outlasts Antti Raanta. And, of course, the Sharks lose to the Coyotes. wrong maroon team. Lose to the Avalanche 5-3. With that being said, and games in progress. Late in the third period, the Penguins are up 3-1 on the Los Angeles Kings. This is a rare time I'll say this. Thank you, Pittsburgh. All right. Hornqvist with two goals. Malkin with his 21st on the year. Kempe with his 14th for Los Angeles. As of this moment, and barring any changes to the Kings game, this should stay the same. The Pacific looks like this. 63 points for Vegas. They are still in first place. They have a 9-point lead on their competition. Gee, it's like a 9-point lead on the Pacific Division. Oh, there's no way that nobody can stop them now. Oh, wait, that happened to the Sharks last year. 54 points for both San Jose and Calgary. The Sharks have a game in hand on the Flames. In the Central, Nashville sits at 60 with their win tonight. Winnipeg is at 59. They have two games in hand on St. Louis, who are also at 59. Your wild cards are Dallas at 56. Colorado with the win goes to 53. LA is at 53. Minnesota is at 53. Those two teams are on the outside looking in. Anaheim is at 51. Chicago at 50. Who have some major deals to major things to figure out right now, because Corey Crawford might be done for, according to some reports. And that would be an interesting happenings with Chicago if they
Hey, Chicago, we happen to have a quality goaltender here in San Jose. And I know you guys are in cap trouble, so help us out. We'll give you Aaron Dell, and we'll take Brandon Saad.
Not Taves.
Why the hell would we want Taves? We'll take Taves, but they have to retain $5 million of that contract.
Oh gosh. Yeah, that's true. That contract is pretty crazy. I don't know about that, but
he's not going anywhere.
No.
Nope, those Kane,
wishful thinking on that part. So
Kane and Taves and Duncan Keith will retire Blackhawks, and then Seabrook will be moved to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Oh God.
If this was any other year, I probably would say trade Dell, but since Jones has just been inconsistent more than last year, you have to figure you're going to have to keep Dell just because of that reason.
I agree, but here's the thing: is that if Jones can find his game again, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be like, move Dell; he's got value. Do it. But since we thought that Jones was going to have a bounce back, because this team said, oh, we're going to be a defensive minded team. You know, we're not going to score a bunch of goals, but we're going to, you know, we're going to shut them down and we're going to win games like 2-1, 1-0, yeah, something like that. So far, that defense has been non-existent and just has been making simple mistakes of, you know, coverage and leaving guys wide open in the slot. And Jones, you know, who's supposed to be your last line of defense, just hasn't been making those big timely saves. He'll do it every once in a while, but he hasn't been making them lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Soderberg one tonight is that the defense let him hang, but he should have known that there was a guy in the slot. And it cost him. He just hasn't been good, and he needs to get better. Because, like I said, if you're going to be paying someone upwards of $6 million a season, you know, to stop the pucks, all you have to do is stop the puck. You know, just win the game.
Oh, God. See, people, this is why you don't let him channel his inner Ray Ratto.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to you, Alex.
You know, like, let's just say that Jones is 100 or 90% healthy. He's been playing. He's a starter goaltender for the past three seasons. There is a playbook on Jones now, like what you can do. Maybe there's just the NHL has just caught up to Jones, and that would be a really bad sign since we just signed into a $6.5 million contract. I don't know if that's true or not, but like, he doesn't look like he's injured. I know like there might be some like what I said before about a wrist injury, but like, you know, I don't know what you do if the league has figured out Jones.
Yeah, and somebody in Sleepy Mofo in the chat was saying, someone mentioned on Twitter that the teams were aiming towards Jones's glove, and he's susceptible on that side. What do you guys think? Because I'm not sure. I think he's had a couple of goals where he was kind of cheating over to the other side, and they kind of caught him before. And I've seen that happen with Jones a lot more. What do you guys think? Is it the glove side?
According to my stats, yes. For the sake of agreement, is, you know, I don't know if it's just the pads have been heavy, or maybe he needs to get a new glove and that's like lighter. You know, I don't know. But you're an NHL goaltender and you're a starting goaltender. Figure it out.
Yeah,
you got a whole team and you got a whole crew that, you know, this is why you go to practice, is that you're trying to work on things that otherwise, or maybe it's just because he's so used to just saving, you know, pucks from the Sharks because they're never accurate and they always go just wide, is that he's not or off the post. So maybe he needs to just practice with another team and be like, oh, so this is what it's like to actually, you know, face a team that's accurate shooting. I think, like I said, Jones, figure it out. You know, you wanted your shot. We gave you a shot.
And let's be real, overall, up until since December, I think he's actually been pretty good for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's had the worst performances against Tampa Bay and the Kings. There's a bunch of red flags, and it's hard not to ignore them.
And contrary to whoever is running the YouTube account on the chat, we do look at the chat, so thank you very much and whatever.
Hashtag YouTube chat matters.
Yes, exactly. Gen X dudes, they have exactly what you need to make it through 4 rounds of the playoffs. They're literally death players. I believe that's for Vegas in particular. Sleepy, I believe Martin played yesterday, and from what we gathered, we heard that he played a pretty good game for the Barracuda, more so than what he did early in this little conditioning stint. Sharks getting the Penguins at the wrong time Saturday. Yeah, because they'll be up here and pissed because, well, not pissed because they're beating the Kings. Why is it set at 5 p.m. on Saturday? Part of it, I believe, is
due to Hockey Night in Canada?
No, I don't think they're on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. I believe it's partly because they have an early game in Anaheim on Sunday. so that that plays into the effect, because it's a 5 p.m. start on Saturday and it's a 6 p.m. start in Anaheim. So I believe there's certain rules as to, in regards to when you can have those games played. So that's probably why it's at 5 o'clock, because it doesn't show it being a nationally televised game for Sharks and Penguins. So tickets apparently still available. Also, and apparently this was brought up to my attention after the show the other night. Yes, at the Poor House Bistro, not what people thought it was, the Poor House Bistro in San Jose, they're having a little bit of a Sharks fundraiser for the Sharks Foundation. They get a portion of the proceeds when you mention the Sharks Foundation. And I believe from 2 to 5 on Saturday, there will be some giveaways or prizes from the Sharks Foundation there. So go to the Poor House Bistro in San Jose. Just a quick walk from the arena, and help out the Sharks Foundation while, you know, chowing down on some grub there. Yes, that's the Poor House Bistro for those who were making fun of me in the chat. Let's see. They want to know where you got your teal knit cap. Although I think Suzanne mentioned it and found it on Amazon.
Yep. Look on Amazon. That's where I found it, and I got it for a Christmas gift from my girlfriend's mom.
Yep. And also the jersey you got at Sharks Ice, right?
Yes, I got the jersey at Sharks Ice. I think it was the last one there, so I had to grab it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure.
I think that was during the Sharks Black Friday sale or whatever that we got.
Something like that. I remember I was with you for that one.
Yep.
So, for sure. Let's see, what else were we going to discuss on this show tonight? Any other topics we should talk about? Chat, we're looking at you.
Come on, chat. You guys saying we're not paying attention to you. Come on, give us something to talk about.
Come at me, bro.
This is your moment. Oh, what are you, Rebecca Black? Are you going to choke on this moment, or are you going to do something with it?
Hey, in 2 hours and 18 minutes over on the West Coast, you know what it'll be?
I don't know what.
It'd be Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Sorry. Thank you.
Copyright strike 297 on this YouTube channel.
No, that was so off. Even Christian Ehrhoff was more accurate in that singing. So how much cap trouble is Chicago in? Oh, gosh. Let me look at it.
They're in a lot of trouble. And unless they are finding somebody
They have no projected cap space.
Yeah. If they don't find somebody to take that Seabrook contract, they're screwed. That's the best way to put it. You know, or as I'm going to say, is that the Blackhawks now are what Edmonton is going to be in the future, because they're going to sign all these people to these long, dumb deals, and they're going to go well past their prime, and you're going to be screwed. I think that what we're seeing it right now is that, you know, this is the cost of winning all those cups early. And now you're starting to falter because you have no wiggle room, because you had to sign Taves and Kane to their mega deals. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
It made sense, though, for them. Those are maybe not hockey deals, but those are definitely business deals that they're going to play for their entire careers in Chicago. And yeah.
Does Dell start Saturday? No. Alex, you said yes. Gentry says no. I say Jones starts on Saturday, and Dell gets going on Sunday in Quackenheim. How do you feel about Jones's contract kicking in next season? Well, I mean,
unless he has a, you know, epic turnaround, you know, after the All-Star break, I'm not feeling good about that contract.
Ask me that at the end of the season. I think that's how I'll feel about it.
Was Alex Martinet even born when that Friday song was popular?
Yes.
Yes. Of course he was.
Yes. And I fucking hate that song.
Hey, it's YouTube gold, okay?
The most disliked video of all time. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yes. Actually, and by the way,
wrong. It was the teaser trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie, which was the most disliked thing of all time.
Yeah. The Friday video is probably worse.
So I would rather watch the Friday video on loop than have to sit down and watch the Sharks game again.
Oh gosh,
it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad, but it could have been a lot worse.
I'd rather watch Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final in 2016 over and over again than
gotcha. That's just torture.
What are you doing? So I guess they want us to bet on the Saturday starter. The loser sings Friday. So okay. Alex, you say Jones. Gentry, you say
I say Dell.
Oh, you say Dell. Gentry, you say Jones.
Yep.
I say Jones. So if not, if it's Dell on Saturday, me and Gentry will do a duet of Friday. Quick thing though, is that Gentry is a good karaoke singer. So
I am. I have this wonderful voice. I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Oh,
and
I've
been told that I have a voice that complements that of Jesus and Fergie.
Oh, well, it's I don't need you to talk about the your lovely little humps. And no, we're not going to prove it.
Hey, the last time I made a bet in terms of a song, I actually won that.
That's true, because
I am undefeated in song bets. So don't tell that.
The funny thing is that that was probably one of our funniest moments. You can look it up in our YouTube playlist. I forget where it's at, but Chris had to sing 22 by Taylor Swift. So, fact or fiction, Brendan Dillon gets a fighting major on Saturday.
Fact.
Fiction.
Hopefully he lays out, either Phil Kessel or Gino, and then somebody will come in and fight. So I'm hoping for that.
Yeah. KM, are you guys ready to trade our 2019 second round pick for a fourth liner come trade deadline? I hope like hell not. If we're trading for a fourth liner, that's absolutely ridiculous and pretty much tells me how much great talent we have with the Barracuda. And don't get me started with the Barracuda, because you know where that will lead. So let's not go there.
No, I think right now it's a second rounder for a fourth liner. It depends on who the fourth liner is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what fourth line center is even available on the trade market right now? The only one who I could see actually being worth the second rounder would be Bozak, but that's just me.
This is an interesting question and something I don't think we really have chatted about, because I think there are some people who think that there should be some discussion about it. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Where is it? Crap. Well, since AJ... By the way, AJ's running the Teal Town thing on here, so, don't...
So wait, we have to sing a Katy Perry song if one of us loses? Do we get the choice of Katy Perry song? Because sometimes I feel like a firework, and I'm hot and I'm cold, and I'm yes and I'm no. And I did kiss a girl, and I liked it.
Oh, see, you took my line, but that's real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I got the Eye of a Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if I had a choice, I'm going to sing Demi Lovato, because that's my girl right now. So, KM in the chat, this is the team that traded a second-round pick for Tyler Kennedy, a.k.a. goalie sweater shot. Oh, that's like half the Sharks, seems like, sometimes. Any chance Jones is struggling because Game of Thrones is finished on HBO? Do we need an author to write more? Oh, Nick Neftap, it's that's a good one.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. James Abel says maybe against Reeves would Dillon go after, would have his fight. That would be an interesting bout.
You mean Ryan Reeves, who was worth a first round pick?
You mean the one that you know cheap shotted Matt Tennyson?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, sorry. If we're gonna have Long Beach native Matt Nieto, we should have former junior shark Matt Tennyson.
Yeah.
So let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else we got on here. Heard rumors Charles Scarpe was at the Sharks Coyotes game. Maybe
Galchenyuk.
And you mentioned that before, Jen, about Galchenyuk.
I'm a huge fan of Galchenyuk. I think he's just being wasted away in Montreal, much like the Montreal in general. I think that he would actually, you know, he would give us a lot of center depth because I do think he is a worthwhile center to look at. You could slot him in, you know, a power play role, a top nine role, and you would have a more effective puck mover to move the puck to guys like Couture and Hurdle than Mikhail Boedker. And I think here it comes.
What's that? Oh God.
Now we've gone off the rails. Everybody end the show now.
And with that, we'll end the show, Ducky.
I told you.
Yeah, wrap it up now. F you. F you.
Oh gosh. And with
I only have to put a quarter in the jar for that one.
I'll put it this way. This is a different angle than most people actually get to see of AJ's office. So quickly show them right behind you, AJ, before we get out of here.
What am I showing off?
Your shelving unit, because they don't usually get to see that.
My little collection of goodies up there. You can see right there the Marshawn Lynch bobblehead, which I'm currently working on a trade for. I'm trying to trade for like a mystery puck or a different bobblehead I don't have or something.
Are you trying to trade it for a fourth line center?
If we could get one. Yeah, that would be it. And you'll also appreciate my little, I don't even know, I guess that's the pointy condom that Gentry usually wears on his head. Geez. That's up there. Yeah. So, and then, of course, Pavs. Big photo of Pavs. But, yes, that is my groovy little collection. And just to let you know, in that box, ladies and gentlemen, is literally every single giveaway that the Sharks did in the 25th season, including playoffs. Every shirt, every towel, everything in that. And I'm thinking that I'm never going to wear those shirts. I'm not waving those towels. We might have to come up with a contest, guys.
Yeah.
Just saying. Can I get in on tonight's game real quick since I only got to watch about the first period?
Oh, God. Only the first period?
And the highlights. Just real quick. I really didn't catch the Colorado goals. From what I understand, I mean, well, I did see the first one in Jones. Holy crap. The one that went between Vlasic's legs. I mean, Jones, you got to have that one, brother. When it comes to the Sharks goals, the thing that I don't know if you guys talked about it earlier, but I thought LeBanc actually had a pretty good night tonight. And I saw some people kind of crapping on LeBanc on Twitter earlier, but it seemed like he was kind of like if there was a tertiary assist, he probably would have got it. It just seemed like he was taking some shots, which we haven't seen from him. So it was really nice to see that from LeBanc. And with that, I can tell that you're already ready to go to sleep. So I'll let it go there and I'll see you all on Saturday. Well, no, you're like leaning over. You so. Oh, by the way, new pucknologist tomorrow. Perhaps. Yes. We'll see what happens.
LeBanc, where is he? There you go. He had two assists tonight, so he did play a good one.
He had two assists, but I'm telling you, it felt like he did have a good impact tonight. And again, I thought that he was catching a little too much crap on Twitter. And, you know, granted, he could shoot a little bit more, like literally like, hey, LeBanc, you know what? We're going to like have you skate with Joe Thornton a little bit, show you so he can show you how to shoot. Because, I mean, when was the last time you saw Thornton shoot this much?
Yes. One more question before we wrap this up. This one's to you, AJ. This comes from Nanette Kura. Can you organize Putt Guy's collection?
Sure. Why not? I got nothing but time.
All right. Well, you can come up tomorrow.
Okay. Job one will actually be teaching him how to center the Teal Town USA banner behind him.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
that will be job one. And Sleepy Mofo asking about the topics on Pucknologist. We'll be covering the last four games that the Sharks have played, because that's how many have been played since the last episode. We'll be talking about the Paul Martin waiver wire thing. There's a couple goodies on there. Might be getting into the new benefits of Sharks 365 for next season. There's going to be a couple things that we're going to get into for Shark Bites that you might be interested in. I think we're also going to talk a little bit about the Giordano hit and not getting any supplemental discipline for that. So there's going to be a couple things around the league as well. But yeah, that's a good snapshot right there.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Alex said fuck it and like left the net.
What? Did he really?
I don't know. I saw him drop off.
Oh, jeez. With that, final thoughts, Mr. Alexander.
The game sucked. They need to play better.
Now, that is quick and concise.
Dude, just replace your avatar with like Hot Take Central.
Bam! All right. Well, I guess Alex left. So you can follow him at Al Martinet. He does all kinds of stuff. Gentry is at GAlexander46. That guy with the teal wall, that's AG_strong. We haven't said this in a while.
Respect the underscore.
The teal accent wall.
Yes, the teal accent wall. I'm Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14.
Stay tuned for After Dark.
What?
Stay tuned for After Dark.
Thank God I'm off tomorrow then. Shit. Oh, damn. I was on such a good swear jar streak.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Put in the cash.
Yeah, that's all right. All right. He's paying. That's all right. AJ's paying for my fantasy camp next year. With that, we will be back with you after the Sharks take on the Penguins. That game is at 5:00. Remember that. Of course, like I said, the Poorhouse Bistro Sharks Foundation fundraiser, that starts at 2:00. Get over there after the game as well. We will be back with you after Saturday's game and Sunday's game. So until then, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. And we will see you Saturday night.
Good night, everyone.